Okay, we're live. We're recording now. We're not live. There's nobody listening right at this very moment. We're just recording. Sweet. So don't feel afraid.
No.
Don't feel like somebody's, don't feel like the FBI is going to knock our door down because if I have to clip something out of this, because I'm afraid that somebody's going to send the police to my door.
We should be.
We'll clip it out. Don't make my job doing editing for the next 3 hours just to get the show produced.
Oh, really?
Okay. No, actually, there's been a couple incidences where, you know,
I wasn't here.
Yeah, something happened or some noise or Lewis went over to wash dishes or something.
Are you serious?
Yeah, absolutely. He walked over there, he started washing dishes, started clanging dishes around, making a sandwich. I'm like, Lewis, what are you doing? I'm recording a show right now. Do I need like one of those little lights that says on air?
Yes.
Come on, man.
Yes. Well, can I introduce my friends?
You can absolutely introduce your friends.
We got the Raffers with us today, and it's a privilege. It's an honor for me, and I appreciate you, Reverend, because this right here is going to be a podcast that is going to be special to me always, because Michael I've known since I was 5 years old, and we have run streets and did all the kind of things, but now he's a preacher. He's married to a preacher's wife. And I say that because he's married to a preacher's wife.
Yeah, he that's big.
He didn't just marry a wife. He married a preacher wife.
There's so much in that scripture defining a virtuous woman.
Yes.
And how rare they are.
Very rare.
And it's like people
right there.
Everyone claims, I'm a Proverbs 31 woman.
Yes.
No, you're not.
Yes.
No, you're
There's
not.
So many women claim that.
And that's the truth.
So many women claim that, but they don't even know. They've never even read the scriptures. They don't even understand it. She just lives it by nature. And I watched her. We talk. We have a good time.
You think it's by nature. You think it's by nature.
Okay.
They make it look easy, but it ain't easy.
Uh-oh. What did she say? What did you say?
I just said, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
When you see people doing something that you're interested or you like, and they make it look like it's easy, they didn't get there like magically.
Right.
They worked on that. They purposely got there.
I'm going to tell you, and I'm not going to get into what happened to her last night or this morning. She had some serious things going on. But they handled it because they wanted to go soul winning with me today.
Wow.
She was so pumped up about coach put me in the game that and he cares about her. I know he wouldn't have let her do anything that would have more injury, but she was so excited to come and be part of the program, soul winning program today, and that's why we get along. We click. I mean, I made this statement to someone, because of her, my relationship with him has enhanced. Because me and her, sometimes we're on the same wavelength. And they did this birthday surprise for me, but that's because I got him first. I got him first, and they showed up. What was it? Thursday night, almost 11 o'clock at night. Yes, and they dropped their life, their things to come for my birthday.
Yes, so that's big. That really
important.
Is big. that really important. Speaks to the friendship that you have with him.
Yes, we do. We have a great friendship.
They do.
A spiritual friendship. It's not just a friendship. There's a spirit. He called me, what was it, a month ago? Right before I had that anxiety attack.
Really?
The Lord had told him to call me.
Wow.
And he's a bro, I'm going to share it. And he started sharing this stuff with me. Boom, boom. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, okay, this is good. Yes, sir. And he didn't know that I was somewhere by myself. Thinking and saying, Lord, what is going on with my life? Lord, this is, I felt something about to occur in my life.
Right.
And he goes, brother, what did you say? Give us a taste of that. Like you said, You said don't accept the negativeness.
Right.
Speak it in the mic.
Because a lot of times things will come up on us all of a sudden. But a lot of negativity is what people will speak. Like when we're going through things in life, we don't need the sorrow.
Mm-hmm.
We need people to stand up and pray.
Yeah.
We need people to stand in the gap for us.
Right.
Because a lot of times people want to help, but it's hurting us more than it's helping us by saying, man, I know what you're going through.
Uh-huh.
I know how you feel.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of times we don't need that. We don't need nothing to bring us down.
Yeah,
we
yeah,
need
yeah.
something to lift our spirit up.
Uh-huh.
So when I was talking to him, I was letting him know, look, we more than conquerors through Christ.
Right.
Who love
encouraging
us.
Words.
That's what
right.
I'm saying. You know,
keep it closer.
Give you something to there build up on. You know, not, it's easy, I guess, to fall into the negativity of life itself.
Yeah.
By, man, I feel sorry for you. I know what you're going through.
Yeah.
I've been through the same thing. I know somebody done dealt with this. But mm-hmm. why speak negative when life or death is spoke out the tongue?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We can speak so much positive and they're going to grab a hold of life.
Yeah.
Not death.
Yes.
I like that. So, yes. I like that because by nature and by habit, we have this sympathy reflex.
Right.
Even
right.
societally, we have this reflex of oh, I feel bad for you. And,
that's so
oh,
true.
You know, and a lot of people, they may even be like grasping for some sympathy.
Right.
And it's like, you don't need sympathy.
No.
You need encouragement.
That's it.
You need to be lifted up. You need to be encouraged. You need a little good godly swift kick to the behind.
That's
you
it.
Know?
To keep
you
going.
Get out of the rut, you know.
That is so, just, that's good.
Right. I get like out that. Of the rut.
Yes. Yes. No, what are you doing?
He's
no,
giving
it's not.
The mic.
Okay.
That's what he's doing.
Okay, I didn't know
they
what,
communicate. Okay, okay. Let them communicate.
I
saw that subtle communication.
Go ahead. No, I missed it.
Yeah, but the thing on that is, like, in your going through, everything has to be tested.
Mm-hmm.
This chair that we're sitting on was tested
mm-hmm.
before it was sold, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So in life, we have to go through the test.
Yes.
You say you believe something.
Oh.
The test is going to prove it.
Oh.
That's what the
he
test is.
He said that. Our last podcast, he said that.
The
he
test.
Said, he said the persecution doesn't make you a Christian. The persecution shows that you are a Christian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The test.
It just reveals who is and who isn't a Christian.
Yes.
That's all it does. It,
yes.
It
I'm
weeds,
sorry.
It weeds,
you're on the right track.
It weeds the fakesters out.
Yes.
It absolutely weeds
and
them
out.
And
it has to happen because God need. Again, going back to what he was saying to me, and he doesn't call me. I do the calling. I mean, I'm not saying that as a negative. That's just our relationship. Mm-hmm. I usually text him and say, hey, bro, I need you to pray. Or, bro, hey, how we doing? Me and her talk more than brother do. And it's a because we have a connection.
Right.
And but he was compelled by the Lord to call me that morning. And man, it was so tremendously because when I was sitting there in that hospital and those people telling me, you're having a heart attack. I mean they were like you gonna die. You gonna die tonight. There's no you gonna die.
Right. No bedside manners at all.
They're putting stuff on me. Well, we gotta do this because you they was talking about my heart stopping on the way to the next hospital. And I said, I don't need that. No, we gotta put this on because if your heart stopped beating, we gotta. And I'm thinking, there's seven or eight people came into my room.
Yeah.
They filled this little emergency room. And all I could think, I was thinking about what Mike said.
Speak life.
Mm.
And I told that.
Yeah.
When I could get, when there was in that ambulance and it was just
mm-hmm.
the nurse, the two EMT, I went, hey, can we take it down a notch?
Mm-hmm.
Can we take it down a notch? Yeah. I'm not dying tonight.
Yeah.
I'm not dying tonight.
Yeah.
There is no, the Lord hadn't told me this. There's no signal. I don't feel this at all. I said, mm-hmm. there's too much going on. And can you stop giving me that fentanyl?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want no more of a shot at it. I said, I'm getting loopy and that's losing. Then, you know, I'm losing my faculty or my mm-hmm. mental state. And mm-hmm. I was like, that's the devil right there. Mm. I said, no, devil, stop. And they all of a sudden, they stopped. They started telling jokes.
Yeah.
They was telling jokes. All of a sudden, this became a party.
Maybe you need to like kind of like join them in the ambulance from time to time.
I don't know, bro.
I think you just saw the power of the words. You know, your words have power, but you didn't know the kind of power your words had mm-hmm. until you said stop. Yes. And you saw them.
Yes.
They stopped.
Yes, they did. Yes, yeah. They did.
I told yeah. you. Yes. I was telling you. I told you a while back about that, and I told it over the lectern. That there was like a night where I was having chest pains yes. and I started feeling like I was having trouble breathing. And it was like the middle of the night. Mm-hmm. And I just started praying. I was like, Lord, Lord, can you help me? And God's like, is that all you got? Is that all you got? Are you going to get serious? Hello. Do you want to live?
Let's go.
Do you want to stay alive?
Let's go.
Man, I started getting inside. It's like, God, I'm staying here. I don't want to go anywhere.
Let's go.
Hallelujah. I'm going to get up. I'm going to move around. Next thing you knew, I started feeling the Spirit of God. And yes. I was like, yeah. Because the devil comes in there and God lets him come in every once in a while.
Yes,
you know,
he does.
I really believe that people do not exercise part of the Lord's Prayer. They don't exercise it because they don't understand it, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Bible, the prayer says, lead me not into temptation.
Right.
Right? And then people are like, why am I always in temptation? Because you don't pray. You don't ask God to put a hedge about your life.
All right, come on.
You don't ask God to put a hedge. So when things come at you, then you're like, why is this all happening to me? You don't tell God, look, I want to be right with you. I want to go to heaven and I don't care. I don't need to be proved.
Yes.
Okay? I don't need to be proved.
Right.
But when you're in a situation where you need to be proved or you're in there, that's where you got to get aggressive.
Yes, you do.
Right. And you I think do. A lot of people, they just have this like, oh, Lord, you know, whatever.
We was talking, man. Him and I, he got there. Him and I are like you and I when we get together. We got to talk about God. We got to talk about God. We got to talk about God, what God is doing. And he was saying to me how that, why is it, it's the same people in the prayer line every Sunday morning or Sunday night or whatever mm-hmm. it was. In that effect, the same people
mm-hmm. yeah.
praying for the same thing. Why?
Yeah.
Did you not get the victory? You said God moved, and, mm-hmm. and why are you going and fighting that again?
Yeah. You know what another pet peeve of mine is? You go into a prayer meeting, and everyone's praying, oh, God, have mercy, please help me. I'm like, stop crying like a moaning, dying cow. Man, get excited about serving God. Praise the Lord a little bit.
Say something.
Come on,
man.
Get involved
Come on,
here.
Say something, because you know you want to say something, because that's what you hey, was
I'm,
on.
I'm trying to be governor right now with this.
No,
because I don't want to start preaching on this cast.
Well, yeah, but you preach, brother. Come on.
Come on, man.
But I'm talking about
keep
a
the
lot
microphone
of people,
close.
A lot of people want relief. They don't want deliverance.
That's what I was getting. That's what I was trying to get into. That's what I was. Come on, preach it. Come on,
I'm serious. They just want relief.
Right.
Right.
They don't want deliverance.
Right.
Because
right.
that's why they're in the prayer line every week.
Right.
For the same thing.
Wow.
Over and over.
That's amazing.
Again.
Yes.
But the Bible says you turn from it.
Yes.
You repent and you turn.
Right.
From
the sin. They want to be medicated from their sin. They don't want to be cured.
That's right. Just get me over the hump Sunday and leave me alone the rest of the week.
Oh, bro, this is so good.
Hallelujah.
Oh, this is so good. This is so good. Yes, but, it is.
I'm talking about, it, we were talking about this other night, and I'm like, it vests my spirit that a preacher will continue to pray for people.
Uh-huh.
Because to me, you're weakening the people. You can say no. I'm not praying for you.
Wow.
Because you have to do something.
Yeah, exactly.
Your faith ain't based off what I believe in.
Uh-huh. Mm.
Your faith believe in what you believe
exactly.
in.
Exactly.
If
right.
you don't believe my prayer, your prayer work for you,
uh-huh.
you need to go regroup.
Right. I think that's like one of the major problems in the church world today is that people are churchgoers, but they don't know Jesus. They don't know Jesus.
Right.
And that's why I tell people, I say, like, hey, you may not like me. You know, as a preacher, you may not like me as a brother. That's okay. You know, I mean, you need to get that right with God or whatever. That's another story altogether. But I said, when you meet the Lord,
yes.
then if a preacher offends you, you're like, well, yeah, but I'm serving God.
Yes.
right? Yes. And then it's like it's no longer like, you know, well, this guy did this to me, or that person, they kind of didn't shake my hand or whatever, you know, or I don't think they like me. I don't care. I'm serving God. Right. When I first started coming to this church, right, the Holy Spirit was there. And I have to believe that this is the same with everybody else that comes to church. The Holy Spirit is there. The Holy Spirit speaking to them and dealing with them. And yet they get so focused on some person or whatever. It's like, no, you just keep dealing with God. You just keep having this this conversation with God, right, and this life with God. Then, why don't you sit closer to him, and then you guys can share the mic.
No, go ahead.
You know, that people, what people need is a relationship with God. If they have a relationship with God, then a lot of things are like, you know, they may be challenges and they may be whatever, but you can get over it. You can just like, and you won't just leave the church. You just won't, this offended me or whatever.
And it's religion that teaches that it has to be the preacher to pray. The relationship is biblical. That's what God wants. He wants a relationship with his children.
Yeah, yeah.
And just the fact that if we get the Bible right and rightly divide the word, because when he said, if any is afflicted, let him pray. I'm a firm believer in that scripture. You afflicted means you troubled. So evidently, when I'm in trouble and I do something to trouble myself, it's no point in me telling Michael or Chris to pray for me, because he said, if any is afflicted, let him pray. You know why? Because I got to come to God myself and say, I did that. Now have mercy on me. Help me to not do it again. Amen. But to have, I need prayer. You want somebody to pray for you so you can keep doing what you've been doing, as if the consequences are going to change. Mm-hmm. The consequences are consequences.
Yeah.
And to continue to do it and over and over and over is not repentance.
No, it's not. And right.
To just be in that place where God wants a relationship with all of us. Talk to me about you. Don't cover your sin. Talk to me about what got you in that situation.
Yeah.
And I can help you get out of it when you admit, it's me. Mm-hmm. But to just go up, can you pray for me?
Right. I think people need to they need to come to a realization let me say it this way, because I've said it numerous times. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. That's not God saying, hey, you know what, if you're interested in being right with me, you know I can. No, it's like another example is when God said to the woman, your will shall be unto the man. And that wasn't like, hey, I'm making a rule that you need to follow. That was a change of nature.
Yeah.
Okay, that was a change of nature, right? That at one time, the woman had her own will. She could do as she pleased. She could do as she wanted to. But now, all of a sudden, naturally, by her own internals, she has to submit herself to a man to be right with her, just to be right in her own mind. To function properly, she has to subject herself to a man. Now, I know a lot of y'all just turned the show off, but but it's true. It's natural. So going back to when Jesus said, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. When a person comes to this conclusion, because you hear this with a lot of people, it's like, oh, man, I just don't want to be in sin no more. There's got to be more to life than this. There's got to be. So then God comes on the scene. You hunger and thirst after righteousness. I'm going to reveal myself to you.
Yeah.
That's it.
I'm going to reveal myself to you as a real person. Right. And now what happens at that point is one to two things. Right. They either say, I don't want this. I don't want this relationship. That's what the Israelites did at the mountain when God came down. They said, no, Moses, you go talk to him. God's too scary for me. You go talk to God. Right. And then you could just be an in-betweener for us. Right. But we don't want that relationship. Jesus didn't come to give us that relationship. Jesus came so that we could have a personal relationship with God the Father, right? And that the Holy Spirit could guide us and direct us. And the Holy Spirit is just as much God as God the Father and God the Son are, right? And so we're having this, you just got me in a roll right now. We're having this, you got to have a relationship with God. And yeah. it starts with a desire to want to be right with God. When you have a desire that you just want to be right with God, you want a clean slate, you want to be holy. And I'm not saying that we don't go through things and we don't have to get back up or whatever.
Right. Yeah. Right.
But you have to truly internally have a desire. It's like, I want to live for God. I want to be with God. I want to continue with God.
I'm saying that was great. Yes, that was great. But look, let me can I chime in on those women? Let me get them back in here. Look, let me get them back in here. Because hey, I was taught.
Mm-hmm.
After giving my life to the Lord, I was taught well.
Yes, you were.
And you know how Sarah called Abraham Lord. Mm,
yes.
Babe, I would call that man Lord. You hear me?
Yeah, I know you will.
Hey. I will.
I know you will.
Because I know the life he lives.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And when you know that he has your best interest at heart.
Right.
If it's a rebuke or if it's this or that, I know he's doing it out of love. Absolutely. I know he loves me. And, mm-hmm. you know, yes. he's trying to be my sister's keeper, my mm-hmm. brother's keeper. You right. know, mm-hmm. it's not all about, you know, yes. what we make it to be. Mm-hmm. It's right. like, hey, I'm still my brother's keeper.
Yes.
He's still his sister's right. keeper.
Oh, wow.
And to just oh, be there, wow. like, baby, it's going on 21 years. No arguing, no fussing, baby. It's sweet.
Come on.
Honey.
Hey, come on.
It's sweet.
Yes.
And it means, hey, I can right. put my will out there and, you know.
Right.
But then I know, why would I hurt myself?
But he supported you to do, just recently he supported you doing something, speaking, because you know why? Because he know, because the first thing you did was recognized him. You recognize your husband.
Yeah.
And most women don't realize, and we're not trying to bash women, that you need that man.
Yeah.
But he needs you also.
Yes.
He wants that man. He wants you to be filled. He wants you to be alive. He wants you to be striving. He just want to know what you're doing.
Yeah, we got to push. We have to push to get to greatness. You know, we have to push you into what you're God is calling you to do. We have to push you as well as get pushed.
Right.
But that's the thing.
I'm not trying to go. And at the same time, not trying to govern the spirit in the woman.
Hello.
Because that's the problem with most men. Mm.
Come on.
You'll sit up here and govern the spirit of your wife.
Mm-hmm.
And God might have told her something to help you push you further along. Mm. But yet and still, you don't want her to say nothing because you think she know more than you.
I'm leaving.
My wife. My wife.
Well, if you're going to leave, at least hand them the microphone. For the nigga.
My wife got saved 4 years before I did.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't intimidated by what she knew.
Mm.
Because a lot of time, I sit back and listen to her.
Right.
Because I understand I was a babe in Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even though I was a head.
Yeah.
I was learning.
Right.
So a lot of time, I listened to what she told me.
Right.
Did the flesh always agree with her? Of course not. Because a woman telling you something that you're supposed to know.
Oh,
see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Ooh, brother.
I keep it real in my house. That's why I can say I'm going on 21 years of
happy marriage. It's a two-sided coin. It's a two-sided coin. And going back, you know, okay, the Bible says women subject yourselves to your husband, all this stuff. They stop there. It says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave his life for it. Amen. And so the women are like I gotta follow this loser, right? Because that's what he is. He's a loser. He doesn't pay the bills. He mm-hmm. doesn't get the job done. Mm-hmm. He shows no initiative, mm-hmm. right? He shows no care. Right, no deep fire.
Why my dinner isn't done yet?
Yeah, that's not. Now that doesn't absolve. This is what's important. Okay, it's not about beating up women or whatever.
Right.
It doesn't absolve a woman from doing her part in the Lord. Right. Neither does it absolve the man from doing his part in the Lord.
Right.
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 And so, you know, the men need to be preached to. Right?
That's right.
And say, you need to go out there and take care of your family.
Correct.
Because the Bible says if you don't take care of your family, you are
worse than an infidel.
Worse than an infidel. What's an infidel?
Not hate God. Not an
unbeliever. An unbeliever. Yeah. Somebody who's not going to go to heaven.
Right.
Anathema. Without God, without Christ.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. He said, if you don't take care of your family, you're worse than somebody who's just an unbeliever. Correct. And isn't going to heaven.
Right.
Wow. Which means, guess what? You ain't going to heaven if you're living that way.
That's right.
Right? Correct. So it, the man has to be the leader and the worker and the provider. He's got to be the person who gives the shirt off of his back to his wife because she comes first. That's right? I mean, isn't that what pastor used to teach?
Yeah, that's right.
So it's not all about, hey, woman, you need to subject yourself to your husband, you know. They do, right? But on the flip side, these men need to stand up and be leaders, and they will be judged more harshly.
Yes, they will.
Because we need leaders. Women need leaders.
Yeah, well, the church
just,
needs leaders.
She said that. No, women, she just said women that. I didn't
need
say that.
Leaders.
Right.
That's how God made us. And to for me to lead him, I'm going to be like messed up in so many ways.
You'd be miserable.
Like I'm saying, it won't just be what you see. My body is not going to be right.
Oh,
I'm saying because it is our makeup.
Wow.
Right.
And it's going to disturb things.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
On the inside, it's going to disturb things.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Because, you know, out of your heart, you know, your mind, that's where all these things come.
Right.
Yes, so on the inside, it's disturbed.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And for me, but you know how it says, be subject one to the other.
Yes, it does.
It does.
So
yes.
it teaches us all the same principle.
Yes, it does.
That we all have to have that respect for one another.
Oh, that
we have
word.
To have that love for one another. Because you know how he told women, we supposed to respect our husbands, right?
Yes.
And that's another thing. Like, love. Women need affection. Husbands, love your wives.
Yes.
We need that.
Yes.
You men are different.
Right, right.
You're very different.
Right.
He said, honor your husband, you know.
Right.
Respect your husband.
Right.
For a wife to disrespect her husband in front of somebody, y'all are men. Hey, that's not going to rock. Mm-hmm. Hey, really.
Right.
It's a reason he put it there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
Because we have to respect.
Yes, ma'am.
If he get out of line or do something, at home we can take care of that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But not out, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In front of people.
Yeah, in front of people.
Right.
And just, we can handle that at home.
And most women don't realize that they're hurting themselves.
Yes.
You're messing with your own home because of the fact that now you showed everybody your husband or your weakness and you're making them
look like. He might have had just that one
weak
moment.
Too, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And everybody judge him because of how you reacted to it.
Right, because you reacted to it.
That one time, they were like, oh, they always do this. You can tell how they act.
Yeah, they always.
Because.
Yes.
Being trained.
Mm-hmm.
We were trained.
Yes.
The speaker is there. Watch his wife.
Oh, wow.
When he's speaking, you watch his wife.
Oh,
because that's going to tell the story.
Yes.
Because if it ain't what it is, the wife's face, the wife's reaction is going to tell it all.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, wow. Yes,
it's going to tell it all.
Yes, it is.
If I'm speaking, watch him.
Right.
Watch him.
Oh, I have.
If he is not, I'm saying stuff and his face is tore up and like, what's she? You already know it's something wrong there.
Something wrong. Wow. Yeah, they're putting up on something that's not really there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, we have been in services with ministers.
Yeah.
They up there preaching and they said something about their wife and their wife said, no, you lying. That's not how it happened.
Oh, wow.
That's not true.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, okay, now you've been revealed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Really, you should stop preaching.
Yeah.
Right.
Go get it right.
Yes.
Because your wife just disagreed in front of the whole church.
That's disturbing.
Wow. Yeah.
That is.
So disturbing. That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
The Bible said men is called, but fear is chosen.
Right.
Preaching is a gift.
Yes.
Whether you use it for the good or the bad.
Right.
So anybody can preach that got a gift of preaching.
Mm-hmm.
That don't mean they're doing it for the right reason.
Mm, that's true.
So, I'm talking about how we were taught, keep your ministry clean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Means a lot.
Right? Yeah.
Because I believe if I meet any preacher in this town of Seattle, and he meet me, I can preach in this church.
Mm-hmm. Not only that, there should be, yes and no. If it's that spirit of camaraderie, when you meet somebody who's a Christian, you know it.
Yes, you do.
You know, like I've told you many times, you're my brother. You're like a brother to me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because we have that. There's something about it that God has put between you and I I mean, that it's so powerful.
You're part of the same body.
And it, yeah, you we. She's
that's what it is.
She's been hammering with me with this like the last 2 days about it's the same self spirit. You know, it's the same. Mm-hmm. We're in the body. We're in this body together, Chris. Mm-hmm. We're in this body together. Why would not God say the same thing to you that he's saying to me? Mm-hmm. Literally Thursday night, God's dealing me with this message that I may preach on Sunday, I may not, mm-hmm. but it was for me personally. This man walks up and started preaching my message. He said he started telling me about this and that, and I said, oh man, really? To a point, I said, hey, maybe he said, I'm going to take a break. I'm going to take a break from preaching. I said, no, you're not.
Take a second.
They're on the airplane, and he's praying, and he's talking to God.
Yeah.
And God is telling me the same thing.
Right, yeah.
That's where it's, I think a lot of husbands and wife miss that same thing. Mm. They're not connected to him, so it's hard for them to
connect. Or even one of them may be connected and the other is not.
That's what I'm saying. Right. They're not connected to him, so it's hard for them to connect to themselves.
Right.
It's hard to have that spirit of Christ.
Yes.
Because that's
you right. you have to become one. When you get married, you become one.
Yes.
And it's two different people that were raised two different ways. Yeah. And mm-hmm. all of this, you have to agree mutually to just let it go.
Yes.
Okay, this is what it is.
Right.
And a lot of times, if you've been doing something for years, cool. it's hard to let it go.
Mm.
But the thing about it is you have to let it go and say, hey, we're going to do this God's way.
Yes.
And the two become one.
Yes.
When we first got married, when he wanted something to eat at work, this after we got over the hump. Because we had to go over the hump because you know how you can be religiously going to church and I was saved, but mm-hmm. we were
religiously
yes. like every night we're going to church, but here it is. We get home and we arguing, we fussing, and we didn't get married to separate.
Right.
We didn't get married to divorce.
Right.
So you know what? We had to come to terms with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Look, we're not going to play this game. Are we going to serve God or not?
Oh, wow.
Are we going to do what he said instead of just hear it? Are we going to do it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So when we start doing it,
mm-hmm.
then peace came.
Right.
And I'm telling you, when the two become one,
yes.
he can be at work. And I'm like, okay, what am I going to cook today? What would Mike like? Lord, what do I need to cook for Mike? And I'll call him at lunch. And, hey, what you want to eat or whatever? And I'm already cooking.
Nice.
Already. Because you become one.
Yes.
And you think mm-hmm. that is not far-fetched. It's been so many times.
No.
Like the oneness.
Mm-hmm.
Like the same thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
The same. It's like a oneness.
Preach
but
it.
That means we both have to let mm-hmm. our, that's, I'll say
self.
Our will, our
yes.
flesh.
Mm-hmm. Flesh. That's it. You
go.
Don't stop. You're on the road. You're exactly what you.
Hey, that don't feel good all the time. Oh,
really?
No.
Really? Now, me, him, and the pastor here and his wife, we have church services, and you would think that we call each other and
coordinate.
And
say, I'm gonna preach this morning. You preach this tonight.
You sing this song, and you say this while you're up. No.
Same spirit.
That's what I'm getting at.
Right.
Like people are yelling, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. Hey, let me prove to you I'm a Christian. And right. it's like,
did Jesus do that? Hey, I'm telling you, did Jesus do that? We supposed to be like Jesus.
We taught that the last podcast.
We supposed to be like him. For real. He didn't go around saying who he was.
Well, you light it.
I said you don't have to advertise nothing. Well, you light it.
Exactly. Right. Right. A candle doesn't have to say I'm a candle.
That's it.
Hey, I'm a candle. Look at me. I'm a candle. I'm putting that light.
Oh, serious.
Nah, man, just
look at the
light
shine.
The candle and it'll shine, right?
And do what it's gonna do.
It's just gonna do what it's gonna do, right, exactly.
That's why I said when you see people to me more or less beating their chest, I'm a prophet. I'm a prophetess.
Yeah,
a,
that is a pet peeve of mine.
It messes me up.
Right. Right.
Because, right. Lord knows, I know you want to speak.
No, go ahead.
But I'm serious. To me, you doing too much. Mm-hmm. You more, hi, Lord, I'm trying to put this in a calmer word. You more or less represent a title more than you represent Christ.
You weren't even in last Sunday night church service, bro, when I was talking about hearing the voice of God.
Bro, this is
hearing the voice of God.
Come on.
And the first point of the message was, do you remember the first point of the message? Mm-mm. What isn't the voice of God?
Oh, what isn't?
What isn't the voice of God?
Right.
And I talked about the prophet with the helmet with the horns. Oh, the Lord gave me this message to make this helmet with these horns. They're going to drive the enemy out. And the real prophet is like, that God ain't going to do that. God didn't say that.
Right. No, that's right.
The Bible even says he lied, and he lied. Right. Oh, I got a message from God. You know, because the church from Corinthians. Everyone's got a psalm. Everybody's got a message or whatever. It's like, no, you don't.
Right.
And I'm talking the sad part. Everybody, we were talking about this yesterday. Everybody talking about, hey, give me a word from the Lord. You want a word from the Lord? Read your Bible.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
You can get all the words you need from the Lord. If you just read your Bible.
Lord, what do you want me to do? I've already given you a bunch of instructions.
It's 66 books in now.
Yeah.
And a lot of them is loaded because they got the word shell in it. So however you wish to, you can read loaded scripture.
Right.
Or you can read unloaded scripture however you want to do it.
Yeah. I like that. Right. Yeah. The word will is just plethorated throughout the Bible. Yeah. And what did Jesus say? Not my will, but thine be done.
That's it.
Right. Like, well, but I could just, you know, I'm free now. I'm liberated.
No.
No. But that's not even true. We're not liberated.
But these microphones are going to be tangled up
because Paul said, I'm a slave unto Christ.
Yes.
He's our master. But I'm, you know, just to draw back to where, you know, this, you know, we being connected, I think a lot of people are missing the mind of Christ. You was going to talk about that, and I want to bring it back to that
to
mind
like
of
him.
Christ.
Mm-hmm. What did Jesus do before day? What did Jesus do? This is his cousin. Pray. He went before day. He went to pray.
Yes.
We want to proclaim that we are like Jesus, but we're not doing the things Jesus done, because before day, when everything was settled, he was out praying to the Father, and the Father is telling him in this day, this is what I'm gonna do. This is what's gonna happen.
Right.
But we don't want to come apart for that. And let me say something about my pet peeve too, Chris. Okay. Oh my gosh.
Go ahead.
Hey, I love God. Mm-hmm. He knows I love him. And I was telling my husband, I said, in Revelations, when they were talking about the New Jerusalem, you know, you're going to have all these gates. And, you know, and this is the 12 tribes' name. But then it's going to be foundations there with the names of the apostles.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something special.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
New Jerusalem. Names of the apostles.
Right.
Foundation. Y'all know we built on the foundation of the apostles, the prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone.
Yes.
But we got so many apostles. What made you that?
Right.
What? Come on, don't do that.
Right.
And the thing is, I love about God, because it's no big I and little you.
Mm.
When Jesus said, these signs shall follow the believers. He didn't say it's going to follow the preacher, the prophet, the apostle, this. He said the believers.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the people that believe in God. And I love saying that, because I can go stand with apostles. I can go stand with prophets, preachers, and teachers. And I can say, so how many dead have the Lord raised through you?
Right.
What's been? And I can stand there as a believer. I don't want a title. As a believer, and say, in my lifetime, that I've seen the Lord use me and my husband to raise two people from the dead.
Right.
My daughter, one.
Right.
And a young man at a party, too.
Right.
And you know the only thing we used? The word of God.
Yes.
And in those moments, it's like,
learning the lessons of, it's all about yielding to the God, the Holy Ghost that's in you. That is all it takes. Because with the young man, and my daughter, understand this, my daughter had been drinking.
Right.
The power that is within us is so mighty. She had been drinking. Right. And I'm telling her, look, what you about to do is, you are about to open your mouth. And you're going to tell this little boy, you shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord.
Right.
That is the only scripture the Lord gave me. And then we start praying. But I said, you stay in his ear and you say what I told you to say.
Right.
And she crying and everything, but she in his ear saying what I told her to say.
Right.
And here it is, when he came back too, she was crying like, Mama, baby, what did you expect to happen?
Right. What you expect God
to do. What did you expect?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So the thing about it is, she was, alcohol was in her system.
Mm-hmm.
The church world will say, oh, God ain't going to use you. Mm. Oh, God ain't, But he did.
Right.
So, you know, we put these limitations. Yeah, we put God
in a box.
Yeah,
we put limitations on him.
Yes,
and
we do.
He's like, I am all powerful. Like, I got all power. My power is greater than any.
Right, right.
And so it's like, not to boast about it or anything, even they were asking Paul about his apostleship, and he said, you are the evidence of my apostleship.
Right.
You still standing. You doing this and you doing that.
Right.
But people don't have the evidence. It's just titles. Where is the, what, you just woke up? What happened?
You just woke up. That's good.
What happened?
That's good. Because they don't have the mind of Christ. They don't have the spirit of Christ. They don't have that servitude attitude. They're not looking for someone else to be better. They want a recognition. They want to be rewarded for what they did.
Yes.
What do you mean you're not praising me?
Right.
I just prayed and God answered the prayer and the man is alive in there. Why didn't you? Look.
Well, even Peter said that when he had like healed people. He said, "Why do you look unto me?
Why do you look unto me?"
Or the apostle Paul, when he says, "Oh, look, this is Mars and whatever, you know, they're gods," and like, don't worship us.
Right.
This is you have to recognize where this is coming from.
Yes.
It's coming from God.
Yes.
It's not coming from us.
That's
the reason why when you're preaching and you're lending yourself to the Lord, right, that you realize, because I've told people this before, they come to me and goes, oh, Brother Hayes, that was such a good message. I was like, sister, brother, whatever. I'm like, Lord just handed that to me on a golden platter.
Yeah.
Those words just came to me. And, you know, not only that, I go back and I listen to messages that I preach, and I'm like, wow, that is amazing. I didn't know that linked together like that, you know?
Yes, yes.
It's like, I got to actually go back and listen to what God has said through this dumb mouth.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But that's the thing that God can't use somebody that it's like it's about me, you know, and it's what I'm saying
they think they know.
Yeah. It's like you've got to do your work. You got to do your homework. You got to go read your Bible and study all that stuff.
Yes, absolutely.
You got to give God something to work with.
Right.
But on the flip side, it's like just like the sister was saying, you know, we're not depending on the person for the miracle.
No.
Right?
No.
We're depending on the God that's going to work through the person for the miracle.
Correct.
That's right.
Correct.
So true.
That is, yes.
Say that scripture. Because the scripture is not by power nor might.
But by my spirit,
said the Lord.
Yes.
So that takes
don't
us
want that.
I'm telling you,
Biba
that
don't
takes
want
us
that.
Out of the equation.
It does take us out of the equation.
That's why I'm here today, because it's like, this is what I came for.
Right.
So
right.
Here it is. I'm swole up and I'm like, no. Look, my face.
Stay
I woke
close.
Up.
Oh.
I woke up this morning. My face was swole.
Oh, wow.
My
eye was
sunk in. Oh, my nose.
Yes.
I'm looking in the mirror and I can see up
bad.
My nose in the mirror. I'm like, oh my God.
It was bad.
Wow.
Lips
was
bad.
Swole. And I'm like, well. And I laid back down. And I was like, well. And see, being married to a man of God, I know some, it's a lot of nuggets in that scripture. And you know how the man has the power over the wife and the wife has the power over the man's body, you know. Mm-hmm. So when I'm ailing, I just go lay on him.
Yes.
So if I got an issue, I just touch him or tell him to touch me or something.
Yeah.
And I tried to let him sleep, and then I was like, oh, my God. Looking like this, and I'm like, okay, wake up, I need help.
People don't want it. I like the way you're saying that, because people don't want to be reliant on other things. Ooh, on other people or other stuff. They don't want to be reliant on God, right? Yeah. Right. It's like, and even when they do get a miracle, it's like, just give me my miracle and then let me go on my way. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. So, don't want to recognize the source. Don't want to recognize the God that's involved. Right.
Yes.
It's like they don't want to go to somebody else for something. Bible says, you know, if any man be sick or whatever, let him go to the elders.
Right.
That they lay their hands on him or whatever.
Right.
Nobody wants that. Nobody wants that secondary resource. They want it straight for themselves.
Well, that's goes back to what we're that whole humbling yourself.
Exactly. Yes, thank you.
Self-sacrifice.
Right. The humility thing. Part. Right. Nobody wants to be humble. Nobody wants to be subject to somebody else.
We were talking about it, you know, last podcast, that just that being able, trying to be more, get closer to God, and there's things in my life, there's attitudes in my life that I need to get rid of. And the Lord has pinpointed and said, hey, you got to get rid of this attitude.
You want to see a miracle? Yeah. People are talking about miracles. You want to see a miracle?
Yes.
Watch somebody get subject to the pastor.
Yes.
Watch somebody get subject to the leadership God put in their life.
Amen.
Yes.
That's a miracle.
Yes, it is.
Amen. Everybody wants to see somebody healed. They want to see some finger come out of somebody's hand or something.
But didn't Jesus say you can go to heaven without body parts missing?
Yeah.
Everybody wants these miracles, but nobody want to be subject to the Spirit of God.
Yeah. A real miracle is somebody's nature change.
Yes, it is. That's the greatest miracle of all. The miracle that everybody has experienced.
Everybody needs that miracle. Yes,
you can't go to heaven. You're one person today, and in this moment, you have changed in your whole outlook, your whole pattern, everything.
There's two men here looking across from each other right now.
Yeah.
Looking across from each other right now. And we know no one has to tell us how we were. We lived and walked around each other for 12 years. That was right, kindergarten to 12th grade, whatever. And I mean, we did things that was like in way that we don't even like speaking. Right. We would not speak about.
Let them done in the dog stay.
But. And to see the transformation in this man's life, I literally, we was talking about it. I was telling Kelsey about it. I said, man, when I got saved, I would go back every time God let me go back. I would go to his mom's house, go looking for him. I was like, sometimes you was working at the paper mill.
Right.
And she said, I tell him, I said, oh, man, I said, Lord, I love Micah. I love Micah. I'm trying not to get emotional here. Because I loved him. I loved him.
Amen.
We love other classmates that we've been trying to like reach out. Mm-hmm. But when God saved him, he didn't have to come tell me, bro, I got saved. That was something different. Mm-hmm. That was something different. Amen. This man right here, and we talk about it.
Yeah.
We talk about it, bro, when we get over there to heaven together. There is something that is amazing. I guess even said it today. He said, bro, it's something special between you and I, because we was on the other side together.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
There's in
brothers of adversity.
That spirit, the same that same Christ-like mind that is in me,
It's in him. I made a statement to him one day. I made a statement, and I don't know if you remember. I said, bro, I can stand on your salvation. I said, if you're not saved, then I'm not saved. I don't even. We were in the truck. We was listening to that song. What's that song we got? Thank God Almighty. Thank God Almighty.
Is he like one of the people you call when you think the rapture took place and you just want to be for sure?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely in the heartbeat,
bro. Did I not make it? Hey, oh, wait a minute. Mike, I know what to do. Let me go call Michael.
Yeah, text
him. If Michael answers the phone, I'm good. I just need to repent.
Come on now. I'm not
right
even,
with God.
We're laughing and we're joking about it, but that is, I'm factually in my heart. I know factually in my heart. If he's not right with God, then something's wrong with me. Hmm. I mean, how did I rephrase? I'm sorry. I really know in all my heart, all my mind, this man is a Christian. This man is a Christian
right.
Because he don't talk the same. His mannerism. Let me tell you how humble this man is. This man used to tell people to do stuff. And I'm not going to say, don't worry, I'm not going to say too much. I just need to use this. I just really? Need to use one. Because I brought
always
up
always be mindful that you're being recorded.
Because I brought up that one man today that I told you. He did your bidding. I never forgot that one time we were sitting in, Mr. Hine wasn't there. Mr. Hine was there. And you told this man, he said, go up there and slap McCree's head. That man got up and he walked over and he slapped McCree's head. And there was a fight in the classroom. And you know who got in trouble? Me and that dude. That man didn't get in trouble. And just things that he would do that people knew Mike was in the building. Mike was in the building. And that dude, and I'm saying this, and this man, he is so humble now. It boggles my mind to sit and talk to him sometimes. Because I'm like, this is not the same, Michael. This is not the Four Horsemen anymore. You remember the Four Horsemen?
You showed right.
And it's just, don't tell me God can't save an individual.
Amen.
Right, exactly.
Don't tell me God can't save someone who is, I mean, this man was on, and he, man, you talking, I'm not men and women would jump at that dude's.
Right.
When he said something, the man, I'm telling you, men and women would jump at that man's word.
There's evidence in salvation.
Yes, it is.
There is evidence in salvation.
And the first one is a humble spirit.
Right.
And I'm not saying that to put him on the spot.
No, I understand. Because I'm going to say this humble as I know how. My daddy.
Pointing at you?
Yes.
Oh, Radford.
Yes.
The name itself. Mm-hmm. Carried weight. They respected him, mm-hmm. but not in a respected way of a Christian. Yes. And we tried to live up to his reputation.
Yes, you did. And you did. Oh, you know, my Lord.
I'm serious. We, as young men, not taught of God,
mm-hmm.
because I'm truthful with mine. My daddy sung gospel music, but I got stepbrothers and stepsisters out of this gospel music.
I see. Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah.
The Bible said how the form of God.
Yeah, form of God.
But it wasn't no power in it.
Right.
You just going around entertaining people, but yet and still, the lust that was in you conceived other kids besides with your wife and family.
Mm-hmm. Religion is very deceptive.
It is. It
very is. Deceptive.
You know, and as boys, he taught us his ways.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought if we couldn't live up to what he taught us, we won a Radford.
Right.
So
oh, yeah.
A lot definitely. Of times, a lot of things that I did, me and my family, going through school, when I got saved, I cried a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Because God will bring them things back to remember the people that you hurt, the people you lied to.
Oh.
You know, if they come, you go through their past, get it right.
Mm-hmm.
It don't hurt for me to tell people that I done messed over, I'm sorry.
Yes, sir. Yeah,
it don't
absolutely.
Hurt. And man, a lot of time when I see people in the street, I cry.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes down to stuff like that, because you don't know how you affect people's lives when right. you're in sin.
Mm-hmm. Right.
To you, you can sin and go on by your business because yeah. part of your nature.
Mm-hmm.
But when you be born again and you see these people and they still in the struggle,
yeah,
how you know it ain't because of what you did?
Right, exactly.
Come on, keep going.
You see what I'm saying?
Right,
so
yeah.
a lot of times, the Bible tells us we have to be careful for nothing. Have to be careful for nothing.
Yeah.
So.
No, man. Come on.
He got choked
come
up.
On.
He got choked
yeah, he did.
Yeah.
He did. I, man, I appreciate it. That's why I want to do that.
There's
why
a reality. This, again, there. This is the thing that there's a reality in Christ. And God's a real person.
He is. He's real.
God's a real person.
He's real.
And a lot of people they want like this like God's like a person in a storybook, and it's like, yeah, he's
bro,
in there.
But why settle for the why counterfeit
for,
when
yeah,
you can have the real thing, man?
Exactly.
You can have the real thing. It is so
right.
real. He was talking about it. We was talking about it. Man, we and we've only had like so much time to talk, but why do people settle for the counterfeit when they can have the real thing?
Well, I think some people they don't know
experience the real.
Correct.
Hey, if
some
all you had was fake jewelry, I'm gonna use jewelry.
Yeah, that's a
fake
good,
jewelry
yes.
your whole life.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And here it is. Somebody comes with the real thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you used to the
mm-hmm.
fake.
Yeah.
Right.
And
right.
all these years, you thought it was real. But somebody come with the real thing and tell you what you've been having all this time
yeah.
is not real. This is real.
Right.
You're not just going to say, oh, I believe you. Not mm-hmm. if you believe right. this was real for
yes.
all these years. Mm-hmm. I believe what I have
yeah.
real.
Oh, sis, that's good.
Let me share an, let me share an
sis,
illustration with you.
Because
this was personal, sort of personal. When I was growing up as a kid, right? I'm not saying we were poor, right? We were middle class, you know. My dad worked at a steel mill, made a pretty good living, right? You know, we got Christmas presents under the tree, whatever. If we went to go get a meal, we go to like Ponderosa or something, right? On a rare occasion, or where you
mm-hmm.
go to Ponderosa,
right?
And you get a steak.
Yes,
Ponderosa is about steak or whatever.
Yes, it was.
And I would go to Ponderosa, and I'd hear people all the time. Oh, I love a good steak. Got to have a good steak. Mm-mm, love a good steak. So I go to Ponderosa and I get a steak, and I'm like, well, it's just as good as a piece of pork, just as good as a piece of chicken, right? It's meat, you know.
Right,
it tastes
right.
okay.
It's okay.
Throw some A1 sauce on
right,
it, right?
Right.
One day, this man, I was boarding a room with this person, and he worked. His wife worked at a real steakhouse. She
mm-hmm.
worked at a real steakhouse.
Right.
She would bring stuff back, filet mignon, and these beef tips from the prime rib
yes,
or whatever,
sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
And I ate that, and I was like, this is divine.
Yes.
This is amazing.
Yes.
And I said, now I get it.
Yes.
Oh, this is steak.
Yeah,
this is Ponderosa. That stuff
see
is garbage.
That the Lord
yeah.
is good.
That Ponderosa stuff, that's garbage.
Taste and
that's,
see
that
the
old,
Lord
that's
is
cheap
good.
Cheap cut or something, that's probably not even a cow. But that real steak, that prime
yes.
cut of steak, cooked just right, cooked
yes.
perfectly by a chef,
yes.
right?
Yes.
And I was like, oh, I get it now.
Yeah.
It was like Hawaii. You know, everyone says, oh, Hawaii is so great. Hawaii's great. I was like, man, I can go to Florida and get the sun. You know, I can go down to California and go to the beach. Oh, no, you don't understand. Hawaii is divine. It's beautiful, right? And then you go to Hawaii, and you're like, wow, they're right. This place is awesome. This place is beautiful, right? They have a poor reference point.
Yeah.
They have a really poor reference of what God really is. And when God reveals himself to a person, that's why we're always having to testify to people.
Yeah.
To testify to people of the goodness of the Lord. Because some people just never, and this is where we're going to wrap it up because we're right at an hour. Some people have just never really tasted the real thing.
The real thing.
And that's the fake religion and the fake Christianity. And then people see that and they're like, I don't have nothing to do with that.
Right.
Yeah. No wonder. I don't blame you. I wouldn't want to have anything to do with a God like
correct.
That either.
Correct. Correct.
That's a bunch of baloney.
It is.
He said, but when you get the real thing.
The real thing.
Right.
Taste and see. Yeah.
Taste and see that the Lord is good.
It's been good to have the Raffles.
It's been good to be here.
And if you don't want, I just want to say something just really quickly. I really am touched. And I'm not going to say too much, but I appreciate what you guys got here. Okay. I appreciate it. And you know I do. We're going to do something, okay? We're going to do something. I appreciate the fact that you came here with me today and trusted me to take care of you and not make you like a fool. I appreciate that. I really did. I appreciate Reverend. I appreciate you allowing me to bring them.
Thank God for you.
Oh, my door's always open.
Yes, but you don't know them. You trusted me that I would not bring just anybody here to do this podcast. I appreciate that. Please understand. I appreciate because I wanted to get them on this so that I can listen to them when I wanted to hear their voice, I would be able to do that.
Husbands love your wife.
That's right, you husbands. Get right with the Lord. Get right, church, and let's go on. God bless you. God bless you.
Bye.